Fields for the end zone. Moore, touchdown.
With time, throws it short. Foreman with the catch. Foreman to the end zone for the touchdown. Warriors' long pass of the day is 15 yards, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson, untouched for the touchdown.
What's up, Bears fans? Welcome in. This is a big one. We got our interactive Willis Twin Towers mock draft. It's good to see everybody here. We got a special guest to help us out tonight, guys. Someone who's done a lot of work with the prospects in this draft. A keen eye for the guys who are going to be in this thing. As you guys know, to my co-host to the left here is Tim. Why don't you introduce yourself, Tim, and introduce our guest.
What's up, guys? Been a long 2 weeks now since we've seen you guys, but should be an exciting and good show tonight. Like Jeff said, we've got a guest. We're going to do a live mock draft with you guys. So let's not waste any time, guys. Our guest tonight, you guys know him. He's with the Barroom Network. He is one of our draft analysts here. Please welcome in Jordan Silvera. How you doing tonight, Jordan?
Well, Tim, Jeff, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk ball with you fellas and talk about these prospects. As you know, I've spent and dumped a lot of investment and time into them, and just excited to talk.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. It's the first time we've seen you on here, obviously, but I've obviously seen some of your stuff, and we've chatted a little bit in the chats with some of the other Barroom shows and stuff. But it's good to have you on, and I can't wait to get some of your thoughts on some of these guys we're going to be talking about here. Just a couple quick things, real quick, that I wanted to ask you about. So there's obviously several guys that have been reported that the Bears are going to be meeting with in top 30 visits. Are there any of these guys that you've seen that you have your eyes on that you're in particular excited about, or you want to see them potentially draft, or that you just have an excitement about these guys in general?
Yeah. I mean, I gotta be frank here, fellas. As a draft, you know, nerd, as an enthusiast, if you will, it's hard for me to find many players that I don't love watching film about, getting excited about. After all, you want to have a glass half full about life. So very seldom will you find me watching prospect just, you know, snoozing or going, oh boy, I don't like this tape. But obviously Ryan Poole is a great evaluator. It's hard to argue with a lot of the progress he's made in some of these first two drafts that he's had. And so a lot of these prospects they're bringing in on 30 visits, there's a lot of reasons to be excited for. And really the Bears, the world's at their hands with this draft. You have a franchise quarterback coming in the door at one, and yet you get to still bolster the roster at number 9 or even trade back and just accumulate more assets. So there's really very few avenues where this can go wrong or go awry.
Yeah. So let's walk into this. I apologize, everybody, beforehand. I'm having some serious sound issues, not hearing very well. So I'm going to try and do my best to get through that part of it. But Jordan, I'm going to jump right into your big board if we can. So, interestingly enough, for your quarterbacks, you have Drake May as the number one prospect. And I'm not like a lot of people. I truly think Drake May is very, very good, and he's going to be a really good pro. I think the comps of Justin Herbert and Josh Allen are fair. I think he could very well be one of those guys. And, you know, obviously, most of us are pegging Caleb Williams to the Bears. So, for whatever reason, you see all these other mock drafts, and for whatever reason, Drake May falls down them, and for whatever reason, they like Jaden Daniels better. And I've watched tape of both of them. I can tell you right now that I think Drake May is a far, far better player. So why don't you go ahead and give us your rundown of the quarterbacks and why you like Drake May the most?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Tim. To me, Drake May is a guy that it's just hard to miss a lot of the boxes that he's checking when you're talking about quarterback evaluation. We want to see a quarterback that has proper height. Oh, do you need him to scramble, use his legs? He's shown plenty of ability to do that in the ACC against guys like Jared Verse, against guys like Dwayne Carter. I mean, you name it. We can go through the list, Braden Fisk, et cetera, Clemson, Jeremiah Trotter, et cetera. So this is a quarterback that has legs to use. He has prototypical size. He is an aggressive attacker, full field thrower. He's able to make throws 60 yards down the field. He's able to throw it with velocity, throw it with touch. he's a young player. So even then you're thinking about there's still an untapped ceiling. And really what, and I want to be very clear because I obviously understand the Bears are most likely going with Caleb Williams. I am not a Caleb Williams hater, love a lot of what he provides. When we're talking about both he and Drake May, it's really, you know, chocolate, vanilla, peanut butter and jelly. It's which ones do you like? There's really no wrong answer there. But to me, I'm joking here. I wouldn't call myself a sizist per se, but really if we're being serious, that's probably the big difference to me. I just prefer having size at quarterback. I don't love that Caleb Williams is 6'1". Wish he was a little taller. As I said, I'm joking about the whole sizes thing, but if I had it my way, every quarterback would be my standard 6'2.5", 6'3" and above. So he being 6'4" checks that. And really when we're talking about when you're looking at translatable factors to Sundays, to me, what's so alluring and enticing about Drake May is that you're able to see those ceiling high, sky high plays. And I can almost guarantee that turn on any Drake May film, you'll see those once every quarter, once every couple drives. And you're going, well, what does that have to do with Sundays? Well, you just said it, Tim. Drake May, Josh Allen. Those are the it's interesting. It's almost like you've read my mind. You've obviously seen the big board. Those are the two players that I comp Drake May to. And so what I've said is he has a body that's more reminiscent of Justin Herbert. But the aggressiveness, the mindset, the willingness to attack the way that Josh Allen does, and that certainly can get him in a little bit of trouble, but it's also what helps him succeed and be the, you know, superstar player that he projects to. And the reason why I really have honed in on him as my quarterback one, and I know this has taken a long time to discuss Drake May, but I'll wrap it up quick here, is just that at the end of the day, it's translatable because those are the players that you can almost guarantee every single Sunday keep you in a game. They keep it interesting. They're the most entertaining. They're going to give you opportunities for a good time, good, bad, or indifferent of the end result of that game, win, lose, draw. And so to me, that's why Drake May is my quarterback one.
So yeah, actually, real quick, before we get to Jeff, there was a question on here from Cliff. Cliff's asking, Jordan, are you suggesting the Bears should trade number one and get Drake May in a haul?
It's a great question by Cliff. I am not, you'll never hear me say, if you love a quarterback, and I'm probably a little different here, if you like any player, I don't really care where you draft him. If that's who you have conviction with, you take him. So I don't think that you'd be able to guarantee, it wouldn't be smart business to try to get out of one and try to Wally Pip somebody and find some way to game them and get Drake May at 2 or 3. If that's who you like, that's who you should take. And yes, I mean, you're hearing it correct. If that's the guy you're seeing number one on my board, yes, if I was the Chicago Bears, if I was Ryan Poles, I would lean to going and drafting a Drake May over a Caleb Williams. And I understand why that's a hard choice. I understand why that's why they're likely not going to go that way, because at the end of the day, if you pass up on Caleb Williams and he ends up working out somewhere else, even if Drake May's fantastic, but Caleb Williams looks better in any margin, any way where he's winning a Super Bowl and you're not, you're left holding all of that blame. And that is really the onus and the pressure that Ryan Poles holds that I don't want any part of.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. It's kind of funny you said that. It brings me to a thought that I had there. Ryan Poles actually said in one of his pressers at one point that we can't be concerned about what another guy is going to do by the decision that we make, you know. So I think they obviously have conviction, or at least it seems that way in Caleb, but all signs are pointing that way. He's the only guy they've met with of all the quarterbacks on top 30 visit. You know, they brought him to dinner with certain players they had on the team. All the reports and all the indication is that's the direction they're going. So that's obviously the guy they're looking at. And just my personal opinion, I agree with you guys. I think Drake May is – I think to me it's like Caleb Williams and Drake May are the two best quarterbacks in the draft, and to me there is a significant drop-off from there. But I just feel like the way the talent that Caleb Williams has, I just don't see very many quarterbacks who can throw the football like that. I mean, he's extremely accurate. You do see some issues sometimes with Drake's accuracy. And one of the biggest things for being a quarterback in his translation to the NFL is his accuracy. So I see what you're saying. I'm big on size too. I think it's a big deal. I wish that Caleb was a little taller, but he is stout. He's a stout individual. He's very well built. And I think it will suffice him pretty well in the league. So I see where you're coming from, and I do understand, and I appreciate the intel there. If they could move down and get more, maybe they would. But apparently, they've made their decision from all indications here that Caleb is their guy. So, and I agree with you. If you have conviction, a guy, you just take him, whoever it is. So
And to be very clear, as I said earlier, there's no problem at all with Caleb Williams being the guy. There's a lot of inspiring tape. A lot of what he does is, you know, I call him a virtuoso playing quarterback, and that is somebody that's doing the magical, doing the majestic. And, I wouldn't say that Drake May doesn't do that. It just looks a lot different. I mean, you know, there was, speaking about what Ryan Poles was talking about earlier this offseason, there was a statement he had made about, you know, an artist versus a surgeon or something of that sort. And to me, it's very clear when I talk about that virtuoso with Caleb Williams. Yeah, that's an artist. That's somebody that you're watching do something that's one of one, not really going to be recreated. And I think that that's exciting, but that also presents some danger, some unknown, which is why, you know, to me, there's a little bit of a concern of what does that look like? Does that translate? Because it is so nuanced and unique to him. And, you know, the reality is I'm not going to compare anybody to Patrick Mahomes, but really it's kind of a ballpark of one or two, which is Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and then Caleb Williams. So I know the ceiling's sky high, but it's also a little bit of the unknown. There's really not a guarantee that you're going to get that. Whereas somebody like Drake May, maybe it's not so much that artistry, but there's still a level of, you know, projectability, translation through players that we've seen, as I'm talking about a Josh Allen, a Justin Herbert, guys that, you know, have that a more mechanical way about their play. They aren't freestyling as much, and certainly not to the success that Caleb Williams is.
Yeah. I actually really like that, how you broke that down. I think that's what a lot of people look at is the upside from Caleb Williams. And Drake May is, like, I agree with you, he's more of that, not to say sure thing, but it's almost more likely that his skill set will translate and he will have NFL success, maybe not to the level that Caleb Williams might, but yeah, it's more of a sure thing, I would say. So, but yeah, I think that the upside is there for Caleb, but everything you've both said, I agree with. And I just hope that maybe that moxie that he plays with and how he goes about his business and how he talks and feels about himself, that hopefully he can be that guy. Jeff, I was going to ask him a question about the wide receivers, unless there was something you wanted to ask him first. I wasn't sure if you were asking him a question.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So I actually, Jordan, your receiver list, the top three is the exact order I think it is as well. So we're in agreement pretty well on quarterback and wide receiver, although I would. But wide receivers, Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, I think that's the right order, especially if you're talking about the Chicago Bears. I believe that Roma Dunze is more of that fit that they need at that X position. This point, because he's a lot like DJ Moore, at least that's the comp. So why don't you go ahead and give us a rundown of your receiver board and tell us if you would see likely going to the Bears and who you'd prefer going to the Bears.
Yeah, thank you so much. You know, it's interesting. Just to be very clear, I understand where we're at. We're certainly talking Chicago Bears, and I will absolutely tailor this to the Chicago Bears. But just for clarification, this entire list is just, you know, agnostic. It isn't any team-specific relation. It's just how I view the players. So with that said, I mean, yes, in a perfect world, I think what the Bears need is an X receiver, somebody that, and to me, yeah, everybody's got a little bit different of an expectation of what a wide receiver one is or what an X wide receiver is. But, you know, the comparison I always like to make, and I understand I'm talking about a Hall of Fame player here, is Michael Playmaker Irvin, a guy that Troy Aikman could consistently rely on to get the ball to, somebody he knew would win on any given rep. And to me, certainly, I think that that's Marvin Harrison Jr. But that's exactly why he's at the top of the board. That's why there's a big belief that he's gone at number four to the Cardinals, if they're not trading out, certainly to the Giants, if they can't secure a quarterback. So to me, it's, you know, how realistic is Marvin Harrison Jr. falling to the Bears? I'm not sure I'd count on that. Roma Dunze is that other X receiver, a guy that's really, I don't want to disparage him by saying that he's a jack of all trades, master of none, because I think that's discounting his services, his skills. But I don't know if I would say Roma Dunze has any particular excellence in any one area of his game, but everything is pretty darn impressive, really great skills. And, you know, I think that as much as we all loved Michael Penix and what he did, I think that those receivers in Washington, primarily led by Roma Dunze, were doing a lot of the heavy lifting, bailing out some of his inaccuracies, going up and attacking the catch point, winning at the catch point. You know, moving on to Malik Nabers, Malik Nabers is a fantastic player. I don't want to, you know, again, disparage any of these players. They're all fantastic. I just think it's a little bit more of, you know, the same that you already have with the Chicago Bears and DJ Moore. And that's, I've actually compared Malik Nabers to Brandon Ayuk. And so, you know, it's not that Ayuk and DJ Moore are the same player, but it's that same kind of Z role, They need to be a little bit off the line to be better. When we saw Malik Nabers pressed, he wasn't nearly as impressive. But he's one that can take the top off of the defense, create explosive plays, and that's what the NFL meta is after nowadays. And so, I mean, to kind of wrap up this first round board here with my receivers, you know, to me, Keon Coleman, I know he's a divisive prospect to a lot of people, but he's another that I could see lined up at X and another just bully at the catch point. He's a guy that I've comped to Dez Bryant. So a guy that I think it doesn't get enough credit for his route running. It's not necessarily to the level of Harrison or Adunze or even a Nabers, but he's, you know, faster than the time you watch him play. He's a bully at the catch point. I think that he'd fit well with Chicago Bears. And then, of course, to these last two with Brian Thomas Jr. and A.D. Mitchell, both exciting in their own rights. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is a little bit of a unique player in the sense that he kind of played second fiddle. And I think it's helpful when you have a Malik Nabers on the other side. And didn't run a lot of routes. Now, is that a question of whether he can or he can't? I think that we're going to see that as he goes to the NFL. Justin Hunter from the Tennessee Titans back in the day is actually who I've comped Brian Thomas Jr. to. And so I'm very high on him as well. But I think that that's somebody that would be more of a trade back target for if you were trading back from nine. I don't think I'd take. And to be fair, I wouldn't take Keon Coleman at nine. I wouldn't take Brian Thomas Jr. at nine. Adunze, Nabers, Harrison, absolutely. And then A.D. Mitchell would be the last one. A.D. Mitchell, I think, is fantastic. But there's, you know, questions about the lack of effort on his plays from time to time. He also tends to freestyle a little bit. Too much success as well. But you can see that he's a little bit of an, as we're talking about artists and surgeons, I think he shows a little bit of artistry in his route running. But sometimes that's not necessarily what you're looking for. You want a receiver to get to the landmark on time, especially in a West Coast offense. So not to say that A.D. Mitchell wouldn't be a player, but again, this is a player I think that fits more in the 20 to 32 range.
Yeah, I have a tendency to agree with a lot of that. And the one guy that I noticed, and I was going to say about A.D. Mitchell too, as well, as I love his tape. I think he looks like he could be a phenomenal player. There, like you said, there were some issues with his motor, and I have actually heard there were some off-field concerns with him as well. So that may kind of push him around a little bit, but I think there's no doubt his tape is first-round tape. He could be very, very good. One guy that was on your list that you had down at the bottom of the second round was a little surprising to me was Xavier Worthy from Texas. There's a lot of people who are very, very, very high on him and think he's a first-round prospect. So I just – before we get – I don't want to take up too much more of your time here before we get into the draft. So – or mock draft, I should say. So – just if you don't mind, give me your thoughts on Xavier Worthy. And I noticed you have the yellow on his name there. Is that because of the speed factor there, or what is your overall thoughts on him?
Yeah, and forgive me, I should have probably explained that beforehand. With any of these boards that you're seeing here, people that have that white text next to their name are what I'd call blue chip prospects. These are the ones that have kind of elite traits, elite abilities, and I would say there's a multitude or a myriad of them. It's not just one particular calling card or signature trait. And speaking of, you know, calling card signature traits, when you're seeing anybody that has yellow text, those are people that I've identified that I'd say have a particular calling card or signature trait or ability to their game. That really stands out. They may not have multitudes of these things the way that those blue chippers do, but in these particular cases, you know, Keon Coleman, you heard me mention it a couple times, really a bully at the catch point. He's a ball winner. That's his calling card, his trait. Malachi Corley, a guy that really is an aggressive, angry runner, just gobbles up yak and run after catch yards. And then Xavier Worthy, as much as you've obviously hit it, it's just about that world-class speed. That is his calling card. That is what's going to get him. I don't want to say it's what's going to get him drafted. He's a lot better than other guys that are being, you know, he's been comped to, you know, John Rosses and things of that sort. Henry Ruggs. I think he's a better receiver than a lot of those guys were with their own respect. Maybe not Ruggs, but, you know, certainly John Ross. So I don't want to say he's just being drafted for the speed, but if that's what you're going to hang your hat on drafting Xavier Worthy, that would be one of the traits that you could consider. The thing with him is, and it's all about preferences here, you know, to you Willis brothers here, in the sense that I think that when you're looking at the receiver class, it's about what flavors do you like, what archetypes do you like. And I like speedy, fast receivers, but I also like receivers that aren't afraid of contact. And I want to be clear. I am a fan of Xavier Worthy. There's a reason he's in the second round. But at the end of the day, I think that that speed that shows in a straight line isn't necessarily always on tape. I mean, I can pull up a rep where TJ Tampa, a corner from Iowa State, who I'm also a big fan of, who's a bigger corner, isn't exactly the fastest, literally is able to catch up to Xavier Worthy on a mesh concept. And that's not what I would expect to see from a guy that's, you know, pulling out 4.21 speed. And, you know, beyond that, he's a shorter frame. So I think that when it comes down to his ability to produce yards after the catch, he needs a runway. He needs an ability to kind of get up to speed and get going. And that's not to say he's slow, but at the end of the day, there's a specialized role for him. And if I have to build a special role for a receiver, that to me says I probably shouldn't be counting on that guy as my wide receiver one or two. I want him as a complementary piece that we can find a way to kind of funnel or work into the offense.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in any case, I don't think the Bears would be taking a guy like that at nine. It would be a move down scenario for Xavier Worthy, but I do like him. And I tend to agree with you. The size, you know, it makes you a little concerned about what all he can do, but I really do love that speed. I mean, and the Bears obviously do too. They go after a lot of guys with speed. So like I said, I don't want to take up too much of your time before this mock draft. And there's other things we could talk about before we do this, but I want to get into it because I don't want to run out of time afterwards. And I want to kind of dig into some of the guys that we actually do draft, if you're willing to do that with us. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into this thing and get it started. And obviously, guys, in the comments, as we said before, we want you guys to be a part of this. So whenever we get to a pick, we want your thoughts on the guys that are available in there. And obviously, this simulator has its own big board, which is going to vary from Jordan's. It's going to vary from just about anybody else's. So we want anybody's thoughts on what guys are there and who they might like. And I'll tell you guys the same thing I said at the top of the show. In the early rounds of this draft, we want to focus on taking guys that the Bears have met with in top 30 visits reportedly, because I believe that that is the direction that they like to go, because they really get a good sense of the person that they're bringing in that way. So without further ado, let's get into this. I don't think there's any surprise here what we're going to do at number one. I don't even think we should ask you guys at this point, because it's pretty obvious what the Bears are going to do. So why don't we go ahead and slot in Caleb Williams there, number one.
Rebuttal.
Go ahead.
I would like to draft Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico, yeah. Throw the pigskin a quarter mile, right? Okay, right. So we've already got a few interesting things here. So we've got a trade offer, number one, guys. So the Rams are offering us 19, 52, and next year's second round pick for number nine.
I don't think it's a
great haul for one. But let's see who's available in the on the board here. So first of all, I'm seeing Dallas Turner right away, and I don't know if you can walk away from that, guys. That's the top defensive player in the draft, in my opinion. The Bears are in desperate need of an edge rusher. He's got long arms, very explosive. He can stop the run. I'd like to see him put a little bit more weight on, but he's the kind of guy who's just gotten better year after year. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. He can play with his hand in the dirt. There's been a lot of people who say he's more of a 3-4, possibly edge rusher, stand-up kind of guy, because he can cover, and he did that at Alabama. But the Bears have met with him, and they clearly like him a lot. And Flus, you know, he likes these guys who are long on the edge. So let me get your thoughts, Tim and Jordan, on this. But I feel like Dallas Turner is the obvious answer here, in my opinion.
Well, right quickly. So, Aldo, can we scroll just for a second? I'd like to see who the players are off the board.
Yeah, let's see
who we
took. Yeah, that's. I'm sorry about that. I should have mentioned that. Who's been taken here? So after
wow, Roman Dunze went five. Wow.
I'll read it off to everybody. So Drake May went number two to Washington. Jaden Daniels went three to New England. Four was Marvin Harrison to Arizona. They stuck where they were. Roman Dunze went fifth to the Chargers. A little bit surprising. Joe Alt went sixth to the Giants. Olu Fasanu went seventh to Tennessee. Not a huge surprise. They need a tackle. And Malik Nabers actually went eighth to the Falcons. So this kind of shook up a little bit differently than we might have expected. So, to me, that's the best player available there for us. Brock Bowers is still on the board, if you guys can't see. J.J. McCarthy is the quarterback that's still on the board. Tim and Jordan, give me your thoughts on this, but I feel like Dallas Turner is the guy here.
All right, Jeff, I'm going to upset you a little bit here. So let's look at – I don't get me wrong. I like Dallas Turner a lot. I do. And I think that he has the most upside of any of the guys in this draft, any of the edge rushers. Now, look at who's below us here. We've got the Jets are at 10, Minnesota's at 11, and I can almost guarantee you what direction Minnesota's going to go at 11 there. And then Denver and the Raiders and the Saints. Okay, so I would say three out of those four are probably looking to take a quarterback. The Jets. I think the Jets are probably looking for a Brock Bowers, most likely. To me, Jeff, this is prime time to trade down. I'd say if we can get in that 12 to 13 range, we may miss out on Dallas Turner, but we'd have our pick of the litter from Jared Verse, Leiatu Leitu, who you know is my favorite pass rusher in this draft. There's a couple different directions we can go and possibly pick up our second round pick that we don't have, and it would be a pretty high second round pick. So to me, I like Dallas Turner too, Jeff, but I think with the multitude of rushers we have here and who's picking after us, I think our best bet would be, and who knows, Dallas Turner could fall to 12 or 13 where we trade down. So I think it would be in our best interest in this position to trade down and try to accrue a second round pick.
Okay, so before I want to get Jordan's thoughts on this, but before that, there's been a question in here in the comments if we have another trade offer. As far as I know, the only trade offer we have is to move down to 19. So, Tim, 12, 13 isn't even an option at this point. We don't have an offer for that. So, yeah, there's only one trade offer, and it's from the Rams for 19, 52, and next year's second rounder. To me, that is, you've got Dallas Turner sitting there waiting for you to draft him, and you want to move down to 19 for a second round pick and another second rounder this year at the end of the round. To me, I don't like that. I think you take the top 10 guy here. There was a commenter who said they like Fuaga here. I think he's more of a guard, especially for the Bears, because they like length, and they haven't even met with him in the top 30 reportedly. So let's get your thoughts, Jordan, but that's how I feel about this.
Yeah, Jeff, Tim, you're seeing me smirking because I like different mock situations. This isn't one that you typically see come up. And
I know.
Selfishly, I live in California, in Southern California, and I'm not a Rams fan or anything, but I'm a big J.J. McCarthy fan. I mean, the thing that we didn't really get to touch on is, and I know this is a wild take, but if I could take any quarterback in this class, not for what they're going to be today, but, you know, the long haul, it actually would be J.J. McCarthy over Drake May or Caleb Williams. I know I'm very much alone on that island, but to me, I think that it's interesting enough. I don't think the mock will probably go this way. This is probably for a D tackle, presumably, or an offensive player for Sean McVay with those Rams coming up. But I'd love selfishly to see J.J. McCarthy go to the Rams and sit behind Matt Stafford there and get a little bit of development time. And I don't think that you're probably extracting enough necessarily to move down those 10 picks. But that being said, if we're being quite honest, I don't really see a lot of prospects on the board right now for the Bears that make a lot of sense at 9. I certainly understand, Tim, the idea to have Dallas Turner in the building. I like Dallas Turner. He's a guy that I've compared and not – I mean, to be fair, we're not talking about the end of the career. We're talking about Khalil Mack when he was coming out of Buffalo, the guy that, you know, had a lot of promise but wasn't necessarily a sure thing, wasn't refined. That's who Dallas Turner reminds me a lot of. I see some Khalil Mack tendencies, but – isn't that player yet, needs to develop. And I get it. That's alluring. That's what you'd want to do. But I also inherently think that Dallas Turner has played jack linebacker at Alabama, comes from a Saban defense, comes from a 3-4, is a little bit of a leaner body. That's not to say he can't put a hand in the dirt and play on an even front of 4-3, but I do think he'd be better fit with a 3-4 team. And the reality is you have four picks in this draft. If you don't love the player, you're not sure about the scheme fit. He's more of a developmental player at this point. Certainly has a more upside than a Latu or even a Verse. He's not quite that guy there yet. So do you really want to spend number 9 on that? And for that reason, I would say it's probably best to trade back. Doesn't have to be with the Rams. Maybe you could propose something to, as you're saying, you know, moving back with the Vikings, though you probably wouldn't want to trade J.J. McCarthy to a division rival. Maybe you elect to go with the Denver Broncos or the Las Vegas Raiders. But I think inherently I wouldn't be wanting to pick a player at 9 if it were me.
Well, let's real quick before I don't know how much time we have here. So let me ask you guys in the chat real quick. So between sticking around and taking Dallas Turner, and by the way, guys, the Bears have met with him. Like I said, they met with him both at the combine and in the top 30. So they clearly see him as a fit. Whether he may be a better fit in 3-4 or not is obviously a debatable topic, but the Bears see him as a potential fit for them. So the debate is whether we want to stick around and take him or move down to 19. I guess we could try to offer another deal to another team. But if we move to 19, guys, do we see anybody in this list that makes sense to us that's, you know, worth moving away from Dallas Turner for? Now, in this prospect list, we're not going to have any of these top guys here, but we're looking at Terrion Arnold still there right now. Latu still right there right now. Fuaga. But these guys will not stick around for long because, like I said, we're moving down to 19 here possibly. So what do you guys think? Do you want to move down to 19 or do we want to try to?
I've got a suggestion. I have a suggestion. So I think Minnesota is probably going to be in line for a quarterback. Good possibility. You know, I'm not sure what LA is going to do. I would think there could be a phone call. So maybe this is a situation where, yeah, you don't want to necessarily give him like JJ McCarthy, but what if you could swindle 11 and what is it? 22 in this draft, 27 they've got in this draft. Not sure what the other first round pick is.
11
what
if and you, 23.
23. Yep. What if you could swindle them to give up the extra first round pick? Say, hey, you know, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, you want the quarterback here. We already have the Rams calling, asking for him or for this pick. They're looking for a quarterback. It's going to cost you. Are you willing to come up and give up those two first round picks? It's worth the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I would ask for at least that. And if, you know, that's the thing with these simulators though, guys, is I'm not sure any team would really, I'm not sure the Vikings would accept that. They might. But again, it's like, we really don't know. And the simulator might just go ahead and accept it because they have a tendency to do that, I feel like. So Scroll says the only way he's moving down is if he can get Fuaga or Fasanu and JPJ. And I did mention to you guys before, we're only going to draft guys early that the Bears have had top 30 visits with. Okay, so we don't have a time limit here. So we can just discuss this at length here, guys. So let's go ahead and do it. So Fuaga and Fasanu, they have met with Fasanu at the combine, but they didn't have a top 30 with him.
He's gone.
And he's already been taken. So Fuaga, they have not met with. And as I mentioned to you guys before, a lot of teams I've heard see him as a guard because of his arm length. And the Bears clearly value arm length in their tackle, so I just don't see him as a fit for them, especially considering the fact that they haven't even had a top 30 visit with him. Now, Jackson Powers-Johnson is an interesting one because they have met with him. And if they could move down and get him, I would not be against that, you guys. I actually do like that. So let me show you guys here on this top 30 visit list who could be available here later on that the Bears could have an opportunity to draft. One of those guys is Graham Barton, who they've met with. He is a tackle from Duke, but he projects as a center in the NFL. He has played center early on in his career at Duke. Not a ton, but he did. And he projects that way in the NFL. So if the Bears are looking for their future center, this guy is a very good option later in the first round. Good player. He's one guy. Another guy that they've met with who could possibly be there later in the first round is Tyler Guyton. He's an offensive tackle from Oklahoma. He's got good length, strong. The guy, he's got big body. He just looks like the kind of guy the Bears would like. He moves well. And I do want to get your thoughts on these guys too, Jordan, when we get to you here as well. But Tyler Guyton was another one who could be there. J.C. Latham. Now, I personally think he's going to go a lot higher than other people do. I think he's one of the premier tackles in this draft. But he could potentially be there, and the Bears have met with him. He's a very, very, very good offensive tackle prospect who's incredibly strong. Once he gets his hands on you, it's done. So I would not be surprised. I wouldn't hate it either, but he is a right tackle. So that's something to keep in mind as well. Liatu Latu is a guy they've met with. I don't think he's still going to be there at 19, but he's a really good pass rusher. Who else is on here? Let's see. Adunze has already been taken. Jackson Powers-Johnson, we just mentioned, he's a center. Another guy who could still be there. The Bears have met with him. He's a really good center prospect. Chop Robinson, the Bears have met with him as well. He's a potential guy who could
Tons
be
of upside.
Later on, lots of upside, very athletic. Arms are a little shorter than you'd like, but the Bears have met with him and do like him. And then other than that, I believe Jared Verse is the only other one, and Xavier Worthy from Texas. As we talked about earlier, wide receiver, but Jared Verse is an edge from Florida State. Big, strong, stout, run-stopping defensive end. I don't think he's got quite the pass rush upside as some of these other guys, but he's got a very, very high floor, in my opinion. So those are the other guys that are first-round grades on most people's boards that we could potentially move down and look into there. So let's get your thoughts on some of those guys, Jordan. Which ones do you like the best? You're on mute right now. So we might have to get your thoughts again on
Thank you. Yes, for catching me. I like to make a joke. I should put like my $5 in the jar for every time that happens on these virtuals. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's a real bummer because I think, not that I think that the Bears need a left tackle. I think that Ryan Poles likes to be able to say, I was correct with my fifth round pick and we love Braxton Jones. But I certainly think that Olu Fashanu would have been a great option, but unfortunately he's gone. So to me, the player I'd be most aligning with, and I do think it's a huge vacancy on this roster right now, is that other edge opposite Montez Sweat. And so you're looking at, again, Dallas Turner, Liatu Latu, or Jared Verse. And to me, Jared Verse makes the most sense. He's a guy that has familiarity putting his hand in the dirt, playing a 4-3 end. I wouldn't say he's similar to Montez Sweat per se, but I think it's a good pairing. He's a pocket pusher, knows how to convert speed to power, does have some advanced moves in his toolbox as a pass rusher, is a relentless motor, you know, runs hot. So I think that's the guy I would be most aligned with in picking up, because edge is not, I don't want to say edge is a bad class, but the reality is you're not going to be able to get an edge that's remotely close to the top of the market here in the second, third, fourth, et cetera. So I think that's, to me, if you asked me one guy that I'd really silo in on, it'd be Jared Verse, but I don't think you need to take him at nine.
All right, so I'm gonna make the executive decision, Jeff. I think we should offer Minnesota make a trade offer with Minnesota and try to get that 11 and 23 and see what happens. If they, well, once they can do this, they know.
Let me say one thing real quick to you guys before we do this, but I'm not against this. So I totally agree with Jordan with what you just said, and especially because the fact we're talking about edge rushers. So we got to consider something here, guys. For one, how many great edge rushers hit the open market? How often do teams have an opportunity to take great edge rushers? It happens at the top of the draft. How often are the Bears, do we anticipate them being at the top of the draft again in the future? If this team goes the direction that we hope it does, and we expect it to with the number one quarterback we're about to take here. I don't know that we have another opportunity to take a premier edge rusher like this at the top of another draft. So I like Jared Verse a lot. I'm with you guys on that. I personally think you've got a guy who's got the kind of upside that Turner does, sitting there looking at you in the face, who has all the production in the world. And I understand what you're saying. Maybe you don't think he's the best fit in this defense, but I mean, like I said, the Bears have met with him. He's a guy who has elite upside. He's got tremendous length. He's just the kind of guy who I feel like if you do put a little bit of weight on him, can be a top guy. So that's my two cents, guys. I'm not against moving down. I'm just afraid we're going to have an opportunity to get a top edge rusher at 19. I'm not sure that Jared Verse is even going to be there at 19. So if we move to, if we can get 11, possibly, let's try it. Because I think Verse will probably be there, or at least one of these guys will. So I don't mind it. Let's see if we can trade down to 11. I'm with that. So we've got a couple comments in here. A couple guys are saying they're good on moving down because the trade down scenario looks nice and we can potentially get an edge next year. But like I said, guys, I'm not sure if we're going to have a higher pick like that with an opportunity to do this. Cliff wants to know if any of the top three edge guys are blue chip. I personally think that Dallas Turner is blue chip as far as his potential, and you know, maybe he hasn't quite put everything on tape yet, but man, he flashes it. I just think that if there is anybody who has blue chip potential as far as edge rushers, it's him. But what is your thought on that, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, per my board, I don't have any of these defensive ends rated as blue chippers. The only actual blue chipper I have in the defensive front seven in that defensive line would be Johnny Newton from Illinois. But that's not to say that these guys aren't great. I mean, this is, to your point, if we're, you know, splitting hairs here, absolutely. Is Dallas Turner my top rated edge? Absolutely. But I think that to the point that we've been making, do you take Dallas Turner at nine and not accumulate any future picks? Or do you roll the dice, move back three or four spots, potentially lose out on Turner? He could still be there, but let's play the worst case here. You lose out on Turner. You've now accumulated more picks and you're still able to take my second edge and one that I think fits the Bears better in this case, which is Jared Verse. I think really that to me is the sweet spot. You can kind of have your cake and eat it too. I'm going to move back, still get a good quality edge, still fill a team need, and still acquire more picks.
Cliff's got a good question here real quick. Yeah, he's asking about your thoughts, Jordan, on Bowers, if he's a blue chip, because he is worth mentioning. The Bears have met with him in a top 30 visit, and the Jets are probably going to snag him right afterwards. That's what a lot of the talk is. So it's possible that Bowers could go right after him there, or right after us here. So do you see him as a potential blue chip? I personally am afraid of tight ends in the top 10 just because of what history has shown us. But I just, yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he is a blue chipper in this class to me. And certainly it's almost a, you know, a damn if you do, damn if you don't. You certainly don't want to pass a blue chipper. But in this case, I'm with you, Jeff. I don't have any issue with tight ends. It's just a situation where you do have to specialize your deployment of them and find ways to incorporate them into the game plan. And, you know, I know that we're talking about they need a receiver, but that's the whole point, is that Keenan Allen could theoretically be gone a year from now. And the idea of getting a receiver was to kind of have a guy grooming to fill the Keenan Allen role. Brock Bowers is just essentially redundancy here. You have Cole Kmet. You just brought in Gerald Everett, who has familiarity with the scheme. I don't know where Brock Bowers is going to fit on the Bears roster, considering that you just paid Cole Kmet. That's your tight end one. That's your Y. And Gerald Everett, you just paid money to be that F tight end, that U tight end for you. So I really don't see where Brock Bowers fits in the Bears scheme in this year and beyond.
I agree. I think Brock Bowers is a luxury pick if he's, you're a tight end away from the Super Bowl or something. But everybody keeps saying how the Bears could theoretically take Bowers because it's just another pass catching option and he's elite at that. Well, it's not. There's a reason he plays tight end and not wide receiver, because I just think it's a luxury at this point. So without wasting any more time, let's go ahead and see if this trade goes through.
We're offering, guys, by the way, number 9 for 11
and 23. It was rejected. All right, so let's try 11 and their second round pick. If we can do that.
Hang on a minute.
They don't have a second.
They don't.
So who's
all right, so
it depends on how far down we want to move here, guys. So let's keep this in mind. How far
down? I would say keep it within that 12 to 13 range.
So let me ask the chat. Let me ask you guys, how far down would you be willing to move if you were the Bears in this position where we are right now? Would you be willing to move as far down as 19, which is what we got an offer for? And we got another second round pick and an offer for that, and a second rounder next year. So we got a first and 2 seconds for number 19 was the offer that the Rams made. So if we're willing to accept the trade, that is the minimum, I would say the minimum we could get right now. How far are we willing to go? J2K says 11 to 16. We tried to make an offer for 11 and 23 that was rejected. They don't have a second rounder this year. They don't have a second rounder next year. In my opinion, you move on from Minnesota in this case. So,
all right. One other question, Jeff, before you bring up another team.
Go ahead.
What about the possibility of us trading 9 and next year our second round pick for 11 and 23? Basically a pick swap.
Not interested.
Aldo is
asking.
Yeah, I just wouldn't want to. I think that, and I know this is going to probably make you gentlemen upset or the chat, but no. I think the Vikings have the best surrounding scenario for any rookie quarterback.
I disagree.
I don't want to ship JJ McCarthy to a place where he's going to be successful for the next umpteen years. I'm just not interested in watching that happen if I'm a Bears fan. So I'd rather watch, you know, if it's at the end of the day, your division. I want to see you fail. I want to make my journey easier to get to the race. So I'm not facilitating anything to give you a quarterback. You're going to have to find some way and hope that, you know, and I'd be trying, and I know this isn't a real draft room, but I'd be trying to tell them that, you know, well, Sean Payton's calling, the Raiders are calling, the Rams just called. They want to come up and put him behind Stafford. I mean, you know, I'd be trying to do whatever I could. And really, at the end of the day, I just don't see a reason why you'd want to give him to the Vikings.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, really, typically, we don't see trades in division anyway, so I'm not surprised they rejected 11 and 23 regardless, because that's 2 first-round picks to move up 1 spot or 2 spots. So, and I agree with you. I'm not sure you're going to try to allow your division rival to get the quarterback that they want. So I would just move on from Minnesota in the first place. And like I said, I mean, you guys know how I feel. I'd be taking the edge here. But if we're going to move down, I don't think we move down very far. I would say maybe – I agree with like 12 to 16. So – I wouldn't take 12 for 19, though.
I was going to say, could I
let's try, actually, really quick, let's try 10. Let's try New York and see if they want to come up a spot to get Brock Bauer.
Let's see. Jordan had a suggestion. Let's see what he has to say.
I was just going to say, I think, what if we try the Colts? The Colts could be fighting with the Jets for Brock Bowers, adding another piece for Anthony Richardson to throw to. Yep. They also could be wanting to come up for their corner number one, because the reality is they're at 15. You're not moving back too far. I think you could still get a verse at 15, a lot too, maybe if Turner falls, maybe a tackle that's more in that range if you want. And there's options at 15. And you're able to still be in a reasonable range, and I think you could be able to squeeze some extras out of the Colts.
And there's a good relationship with Chris Ballard there from the Bears for Ryan Poles. So
I was just going to say, I really like that, because there is thought that if – I've specifically talked to several Colts fans who keep telling me that we want Bowers bad. We really hope Bowers is going to fall to us. So I think that's a really good option to at least try. They have 15 and 46.
I think that's more than fair.
I would maybe ask for another late round pick also, and see if we can get it, because moving down six spots for a second rounder, especially a mid second rounder, I feel like we should get a little more than that.
Let's try 191, Aldo. I think you certainly can, Aldo.
I think the only thing I'd push back, and let's see if they go with it. The only thing I would push back is just because I think at the end of the day, you have relationships, and I'm not sure Ballard and Poles. I don't think Poles would have wanted to really sour the relationship with Ballard to go, hey, give me one more, but I'm glad that they threw it in. So
it was a sixth rounder, though, or something. So it wasn't terribly early.
As we said, Brock Bowers was the
decision. There it is.
And then
McCarthy went to the Jets.
He's the Aaron Rodgers successor.
He is the Aaron Rodgers successor. Yeah. So Brian Thomas, there's Dallas Turner.
Yeah, Turner went 12th. Quinion Mitchell, who's one of the top corners, went 13th. Amarius Mims, surprisingly, went 14th to Georgia. He's a tackle from Georgia. They went to New Orleans. That is a bit of a surprise, because I'm not sure he's top 15 player. But again, this is one of those guys, like Jordan said before, it's like, you know, who's your preference? Yep. And some teams have certain preferences when it comes to offensive linemen. So I can see it. I'm just not sure the Bears wouldn't look that way, obviously. So anyhow, so moving on. So here's who's left at the top of the board here, guys. And Jared Verse is there, as Cliff mentions. So Terrion Arnold is corner from Alabama. He's at the top of the board. Latu is still there as well. Medical condition there, that there is possibly a concern. Bears brought him in, so they obviously had their medical team looking at him. Could they draft him? I don't know. For me personally, I think it's a little risky, especially with Jared Verse still there also. Maybe he doesn't have – they both, in my opinion, neither one of them are like – have huge upside, because Latu kind of lacks in athleticism, and Verse just – I don't see a ton of like pass rush upside there, but that's just my personal opinion. I do like Verse a lot as a player, and I would love to have him on the team, especially with where we're at right now. So, but let's look at who else is here. Fuaga is there at 14 still. Like I said, he's probably a guard, and they haven't met with him.
Can I go ahead and narrow this down, Jeff? Can I go ahead and narrow it down? I think it is imperative at this point we are drafting on the defensive line. Whether that's edge or three technique, I think at this pick, we take defensive line.
Well, we got to real quick. Let's talk about, because there's a couple other guys on this list still that the Bears have met with and are still around. Do we have a trade offer, by the way? Although I think I saw. We have an offer, but it's not for another first round pick.
There's three offers though.
There's three offers. Okay. So here's another offer, guys. So Pittsburgh is offering us number 20 and number 51 to move up to 15. So that gives us another second round pick, and Philly's doing the same thing. They want to move up from 22, and they're going to give us 53, which is obviously not as good as Pittsburgh's offer there. So what do we get in the first trade? We got a second rounder this year and a sixth rounder.
Yep.
So now we'd be looking at 2 second rounders if we took the deal from Pittsburgh. So we'd have number 20 and 2 second rounders this year.
I personally, we could certainly do what you gentlemen want to do, but I think to me, sometimes you gotta count your blessings and be thankful.
I was gonna say, somehow we gotta take some picks.
that's what I'm saying. I mean, we already have a second rounder. Jared Verse is sitting there. We need an edge, so here's a couple of the other guys they met with, though. Also, guys that are on the list here: J.C. Latham is still there. Bears have met him. Chop Robinson is still there. Bears have met him. So there are some other options, but I'm with you guys. I don't think you can't keep trading forever. At some point, you got to take a guy. And Verse, I mean, he's, like I said, a really high floor, and it's an edge. It's, you know, you don't have a chance to get edges very often, especially a guy who can plug in on the other side of Montez Sweat right now and probably come in and start because he's got such a high floor. He is a little similar to Sweat, in my opinion, as far as the way they play. I would like to get a little bit of something like yin and yang over there maybe. But, you know, I'm not against taking Verse here, guys, if that's what you want
to
do.
I think that, to me, that's what I would do. I count a blessing that he's even here. I don't think it's a guarantee he'd make it to 15. So
yeah,
the fact that he's here makes it a pretty easy one to run up the card for me. But, again, that's me.
My only argument is, and it's I like Latu the most because of the multitude of pass rush moves. He just knows how to get to the quarterback. Like, that's what he does. And I think that we're a very good run defending team. I think this is a position where we can just get somebody who's going to rear back and go after the quarterback. And as long as the medicals pass through, why not take the chance on the guy? I mean, he's played for 2 years without issues, without, you know, re-aggravating the injury. And he's just been uber productive. That's what he does. And I've been telling Jeff that I look at him a lot like Aiden Hutchinson, maybe not the guy that had the most upside, but you just know he's going to get after the quarterback. So, and I'd be fine with Jared Verse here, guys. I'll let you guys make a decision here, but I like Leiatu Leitu as well. And I would be okay with taking him here. So,
well, real quick, Chad, go ahead.
Medicals, and I don't like the lack of athleticism.
That's what I was going to say too. I mean, go ahead, Chad, go ahead and tell us your thoughts. We're thinking we're going to take Jared Verse here, but I'm with you guys because of the fact I'm with you, Jordan. The medicals are scary to me. And I think Verse is just a way safer pick here. He's got a really good RAS score, 9.6. He's a great athlete. So he does have some pretty good upside.
He's a high floor player, Jeff. And I mean, to me, it's you're getting eight sacks a year as a bare minimum. And I mean,
probably
that's a sweet edge too. He's cost controlled. And to me, I just think there's a situation. I mean, for context, I've comped him to Brian Arakpo, the edge from Texas from about 10 years ago. Another high floor player with exceptional strength, the ability to exceed even that floor. But there is a certain comfort to be had in the draft room, I'd have to presume, that just to be able to rest your head and sleep easy that night, knowing I got a player that I don't have to do much projection for. I know they're going to come in and be a productive player. And I think that's what Jared Verse represents here.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. Like you said, that floor is so high and his motor runs so high. That's the kind of guy that Flus loves. And I was honestly surprised to see that they took as long to reportedly have a meeting with him as they did, because it just happened within like the last week or two. So
that was
surprising to me. But
lock it in, Aldo.
I'm with that. Let's go ahead and plug that in and go with Jared Verse there at 15.
It's a hell of a duo at the top.
Yes, like it is.
Well, especially
and you got him at 15 and accrued a second round pick as well.
Yeah.
That's a good move there.
I like that. I do like Turner, but, you know, obviously that's like I was telling you guys, that's where I would have gone there, but I don't hate taking Verse at 15 and getting a second round pick. I don't hate it at all.
And I like Turner. I just like Verse of the second round pick as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dang it. Absolutely.
Zach Frazier came off the board. I really like Zach Frazier.
That sucks. We're here at 46 now, guys, and we have another trade offer to move down six spots and get another fourth rounder. And then we have another offer after that from San Francisco. They want us to move way down for a second rounder next year.
Let's see who's there. Let's see who's on the board.
Yeah, let's look at our board. We've got us kids. So here's who the Bears have met with so far. I'm not seeing anybody yet. Can you keep scrolling there? Chris Braswell, they have reportedly had a top 30 with from Alabama. He's an edge, but we just took one.
Braylon Trice is still there. Wow.
Ben Sinnott. Now, that's who I want to take right here. This guy is a guy they've met with at both the combine and in the top 30 visit. He is an H-back tight end from Kansas State. He's got a really good RAS score. This guy is a really good pass catcher. He's a willing blocker. He's a guy that the Bears and a lot of other teams have shown a lot of interest in. So, let me get your thoughts on this guy, Jordan, but I think this is a really good we may be able to move down and get him still, but I think this is the guy we should be targeting in this area here is Ben Sinnott.
I like Ben Sinnott. I have a third round grade on him, but at the end of the day, you heard me say it about Bowers, who's an exceptional talent. He and Sinnott's a little bit of a different player, but he's an H-back.
Yeah.
Where am I using him? What are we?
I agree with Jordan. I think I think you can wait on the tight end here, and you got too many needs. There's still some wide receivers available here. Malachi Corley is still there, although I don't think they need another slot X or slot Z kind of guy. They need an X. That's still an unbelievable yak guy. I just think there's too many other needs on the team, and I think we could go another direction here. So can we scroll down just a little bit more here, Aldo, and see who else is available? Because we may be willing to trade down here.
As we're scrolling here, I do want to mention real quick, too, guys. The reason – so there's an interesting comment that Cliff made with Alder's office. He does like to use multiple tight ends. And like I said, I mean, there's a reason that the Bears have met with this guy multiple times. I mean, I see what you guys are saying. I don't know that it's the best thing in the world, but I mean, we have to also think about what the Bears could be doing here. And he is a guy that they could use. They could maybe move him around. Maybe they use three tight ends. Maybe they do some different things. Maybe they stick him in the slot. You never know what they could do. I mean, there's a lot of, this guy's a very versatile piece, I feel like, Sinnott.
To be very clear, you're on point, Jeff. I mean, Sinnott presents a different skill set than a Y or a U or F tight end. He is, I mean, that F tight end, that Joker role, is a little bit more of that H back. So Sinnott offers that. It is a little different than maybe what an effort is, but I just think there's a little bit of similarity there. And as much as I think Cliff was the one that said it, he's absolutely right. Waldron's offense does utilize a lot of 13 personnel. I just think at the end of the day, is that what you really want to spend a second round pick on, is the third tight end for those unique packages? When we could go get a guy like an AJ Barner or a Tip Ryman or an Eric All or somebody like that with that sixth round pick. And then that's where you find your third tight end. You know, that player that we're talking about, luxury picks, that third tight end is not high on the priority list when you're not running 13 personnel as a majority of your packages.
Can we?
I think we move down here, Jeff. I think we move down a few spots and try to find somebody who we've either had a top 30 with or more of a need, because we have a lot of edge rushers here at this spot of the draft. There's a lot of running backs, it looks like a few defensive backs. I don't see a whole lot of guys the Bears would be looking at. I really like Ricky Pearsall. I know Aldo's a big Ricky Pearsall guy. He's going to be down here a little bit. I think we should try to move down, maybe pick up another four and see where that goes.
So I'm not against that. Real quick, like I mentioned to you guys at the start of the show, I really, really like Pearsall. Like, I'm with you guys on that. I like him a lot. But the Bears have not reportedly had a top 30 with him. So I do want to, like I said, I want to stick to that for the first couple rounds here. So if we may move down here, but let's see. I want to look at this board here, Aldo. Who's left on the offensive side? Because I want to see if there's anybody else that maybe I'm not seeing that they have met with in this area.
Have they met with Jalen Polk?
No, not in the top 30. So Sinnott was one of them. If you can keep going here, I'm not seeing anybody else really.
Cedric Van Fran, they've met with.
Not in the top 30. I'm not seeing any of these guys that have had top 30s. Jatavion Sanders, they have met with him, but not a top 30. So,
I mean, I love Christian Haynes. He's my guard two on the board.
He's a great player. Yeah, I'm not against that. Looking at this right now, we might not even have the option to take a guy that we've met with at this point. So we might just be taking best player available.
I'm fine with taking Christian Haynes or trading down a few spots and then moving on.
So I'm not opposed to trading down just because we did get that offer for an extra fourth round pick this year. And there was also
next year, but let's try to get one for this year.
Well, hang on. I think there was an offer to move down with San Francisco.
That was to 6-3.
They're both next year. So what was the other one? Okay, they're both next year.
Next year's two. Do the Rams have a four this year?
No. Yes.
Let's try their four this year.
I think that's a fourth, 154. So it's 99. Or no, that's a third rounder.
Yeah, that's three. I would say a four this year. What is that? 135 or one? I can't see that very well.
Let's just, what was it? They offered 52 and
their next year's four. So I would say try to get a four this year. So 154, I think is worth, or 134, whatever that is there, and eliminate the four next year.
Does Haynes have center versatility, Jordan, on his tape? I haven't had a chance to watch a ton of him.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's actually why I really like Haynes, is that Haynes has been a guard. I could be wrong. He may have played a little bit of center, but I don't believe he has. He just has guard tape. But the thing about why it's interesting, Jeff, is Coach Mora, Jim Mora, who's the coach for the Kennett UConn, has talked about that they had plans to try to move him to center previously, and it just didn't work out. They ended up plugging somebody else there. But Haynes has had at least consideration to play center. And I just also think the reality is that Nate Davis didn't have the greatest year last year. Doesn't mean he won't have a great year this year, but you know, it's a 3-year deal. He's entering in. You could probably cut bait after this year if he didn't like it. Tevin Jenkins still remains unsigned. He's also not reliable. He's never played a whole season. So I think that having some guard backups is helpful, particularly again, when we're talking about a shorter quarterback that doesn't want the pocket pushed in, having some extra security there. And if he could play center, even better. You're just kind of adding more to bolster that support system for Caleb.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it, because especially with the fact that, you know, blanking on his name right now, Nate Davis did not have the best year of his career last year.
Let's make it simple.
We're drafting Christian Haynes.
I mean,
I wouldn't hate that.
The only thing I would try to caution against is just that moving back a lot is always, it's always fun. It's always interesting too, but yeah. You know, and I'm not saying we're over trading back, but we're doing it, you know, in an egregious amount. But I do think that at a certain point, you know, there are players that make sense that fit what they do. I'd get it if he was, you know, Cooper Beebe, who's my top guard, but he doesn't necessarily fit what the Bears want to do. Where Christian Haynes, his tape is such a blast to watch. He's one of my guys.
I think he's a fit, and they may have met with him. Maybe if it's not a top 30, there's a good chance they've still met with him, and there's going to be somebody that they didn't meet with. So let's go ahead. We got to start moving along with this. So let's go ahead and just take Christian Haynes. Jeff, are you on board?
Yeah, let's just do it. I'm good with that.
I already know who I want to go with the third rounder if he's there.
I think you're saying Jalen Polk, but
No, not that one.
Okay. That's the only part I think that you're desperately missing right now is you need.
It is a wide receiver. It is a wide receiver. And Jalen Polk just went off the board in the bottom.
I know who you're already thinking of, Tim.
You do, and he's there. Let's do it. Brandon Rice, baby. Let's do it. Brandon Rice.
Let's hide these offers real quick, Aldo, because I don't think we should probably take a guy here depending on who we got. So
he's an ex. He's the son of the greatest wide receiver in the history of the game. I'm saying do it. Let's go. Brandon Rice, if he's there.
So, okay. So at the top of this list here, we've got. So Roman Wilson, I think, is their top.
There he is. He's right up there.
All the way down at 131, Tim.
Yeah, but this is PF. Pro Football Networks. I think he's going in the third round. I've been saying this for weeks now.
Yeah. I think he will too. So before, I want to get Jordan's take in a second here, but so Roman Wilson is a lot. So he's a guy that I see a lot of up and down takes on. Jordan, I believe he was pretty high on your board, but I've seen some other people who aren't as high on him for whatever reason. So he could be an intriguing option there. If you don't mind giving us your little scouting report on him, your take. But also we have some other guys here on the list I want to look at as well.
Yeah. As you can see, I mean, Roman Wilson is my second rated receiver in the second round, just behind Xavier Legette. I love Roman Wilson. I think he's a special player. I think that people would be talking about Roman Wilson in a lot more of a glowing light had he not played for Jim Harbaugh in a passing limited offense. But to me, he's a slot only receiver. He's a Z at best. I've comped him to kind of like a budget Olave, Chris Olave, that is. But again, he doesn't fight press well. He almost needs to be off the ball. It's best in the slot. That's not really what you need. You have that in a Tyler Scott. Again, I think you need a big commanding body. And I'm with Tim here. I actually find that many people are more down on Brandon Rice. I don't know a lot of people that love Brandon Rice as much as I do. So
I do.
Tim likes Brandon Rice. And it's not that he's the only X left, but he's one of the only quality X receivers left. Because Burton's not that, Malik Washington isn't that, Thrash isn't that, Cowing isn't. Baker's kind of more of that power slot to me. McCaffrey's, again, much lower on the board, a little bit more of an experimental developmental player. So really when you're talking about X receivers, Brandon Rice is that. And I want to be clear, I also don't know if I see Brandon Rice as an X from day one. I've comped him to kind of like a Michael Pittman Jr. I don't think he's that player yet, which is why Michael Pittman went like 35th overall. But Brendan Rice can play that power slot role. And as he develops, he can eventually take on the X receiver role. And as you know, you're just adding kind of cherry on the top that Caleb's played with them. They have a good relationship. You know, that's, there's enough reasons there why I think you'd want to take him at 75.
Well, just to piggyback that a little bit really quickly too. So yeah, I agree. And they have Keenan Allen this year. So this is a perfect opportunity because Keenan Allen can be an X role if he needs to be. He's going to play in the slot. What better person to work with Brendan Rice his first year in Chicago. And guys, I know I keep harping us in. Let's be real. Do not expect him to be his dad. It's not going to happen. And if it, well, maybe it does, but you can't have that expectation on him, but he's going to be a good player. If you think that he's not going to have a successful NFL career, you'd be crazy because of who his dad is. And you can see the talent already. And you know, he works hard. He understands the NFL. He grew up in this game. So I just think that, I mean, how often do we see, you know, the sons of former professional football players have good careers? More often than not. I just think this is a slam dunk where we're at. He can play the X and hopefully groom into that role. This is a perfect transition for him. Like you said, Jordan, he's a teammate of Caleb Williams and he's a big touchdown target for him. I just think this is a no brainer here. And I know Pro Football Network says he's like the 131st. I'm telling you, he's not. He's going to be a third round pick or better. I've heard people say second round even. So I just think this is the ultimate place to go for him here in the third round.
Let's go ahead and take him and plug it in. I personally don't know if I love it. I think it's a little rich for him to go 75. I don't think he's not a very good route runner. He's got, you know, I'm with Jordan. I'm not sure he's going to walk in and be an X right away. He's a target of, Caleb's. They obviously have a good relationship. I think that he could be a good player. I don't think that, you know, him being Jerry Rice's son is going to like lead to him having great NFL success. Like I said, I just don't think he's a great separator, great route runner, but I think he could be a good player. And at 75, I don't hate it. I just don't love it, but we don't really have a ton of options here either. So
now, and my only point, Jeff, is just that if you look at the board, what other receivers later on are fitting this same archetype or mold? They're just not there. That's literally the only. I get it. It's a little rich for me too. I mean, to be fair, he's my top rated receiver in the third, and I do think some team could get wild and take him at the bottom of the second. But you know, I understand that he's maybe not ideally what you're looking for. But this is the way the board fell out, and you didn't have a top receiver you could have taken in the first or the second round. Keon Coleman, Thomas, Mitchell, they were all gone. So this is really kind of your last stop at the you know, on the train tracks to get an X receiver, a potential one, of course.
I think the only guy that
it's the third round. I think this is where you take that chance too. Yeah. Like you might be reaching a little bit, but it is the third round, and he's not Bayless Jones. He's certainly not Bayless Jones. So
let's go ahead and plug it in. But I was just going to say the only guy I can think of that the Bears have a meeting with that has this kind of like potential X. Could be a potential X is that Flournoy guy from, was it Southeast Missouri State? I think it is.
And yeah.
He's a later, maybe even UDFA guy. So I think this is probably the route to go. Let's go ahead and take Rice here.
Lock it in. I'm buying a Brendan Rice jersey.
All right, now we're back on again at 122 here. And if we can get all, I think we're just on wide receivers. Can we go to the all list? Oh, we're not up yet. They're still going.
Yeah, we're watching it fall here.
So Kieran Amagud, GA, was one of the guys that just went. The Bears have met with him. He's a tackle from Yale. He went in the third round. I wouldn't hate that for the Bears either if they took him somewhere in that area. I actually really would not mind them taking him at 75 even. But I'm with you guys. It's going to be hard to find a receiver at that kind of archetype later on in the draft. So I don't hate the Rice pick either.
And I was seeing Mason Smith falling, and I was like, if he made it to the Bears at 122, oh my God.
Here we go. You're up.
So here we go. Andrew Phillips is a corner that they've met with from Kentucky. Everybody loves this guy. There's been tons of teams that have met with him already. Like I said, the Bears had a top 30 with him. He's an athletic guy, very athletic guy. And like I said, he's a very popular target. He could potentially be maybe a safety if he's got enough size and athleticism. I'd have to ask you about that, Jordan, if you see that yourself. But I could possibly see. He's 5'10", 190. So maybe not, but possibly he's a very good athlete. So I could see it. Dylan Lobby is also here in this area, guys. The Bears have met with him twice at both the combine and at the in a top 30 visit. He is also a punt returner as well. And this guy is a good athlete, like a really good athlete. He's 5'9", 206. He played at a small school in New Hampshire, but I was just watching film on this guy today even. And he's surprisingly fast. He's got really good vision for a guy who's played at a small school like that. And like I said, he's a punt returner. So he's something that the Bears could very well look at in this area. Cam Hart is on this list here.
Yeah, Jeff, I want to ask Jordan about Cam really quick. So yeah. Jordan, we had Charleston Bulls on our show last week. He's been on a couple times with us. He works for Rivals and he covers Notre Dame football. And we know that the Bears have met with Cam Hart, you know, with that size 6'3", 202, 9+ inch hands, 33 inch arms. We think there's a good possibility that he could be a safety possibly in the NFL. And what do you think, Jordan? You think that he could transition into safety and maybe be a draft pick here?
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, Tim. One I've actually not even thought of, just because I think that inherently when you're talking about kind of transitioning, and I mean, for what it's worth on my big board, I have actually kind of, I put players in multiple positions if I think they have that fit. Cam Hart's not one that's even I've entertained, because I think that's a hard transition to make, to ask a guy who's been playing corner to all of a sudden jump to safety. He's a big frame, kind of, you know, at 120, James Williams, very similar player in that respect. If you were to ask Hart to move to safety, it's not a traditional fit that you would think. And I think with a guy like Cam Hart, if he was playing safety, he'd kind of become a specialist the way that James Williams is, where they're taking on tight ends, they're taking on power slots, which he could do. But I think at this point, you have a quality secondary. You know, that's the whole issue with Andrew Phillips, who I'm a big fan of, and I would laugh. I don't know. I'll give you fellas $100 each if Andrew Phillips is here at 123 on, you know, a week.
That's not going to happen.
Andrew Phillips, I love, but Andrew Phillips is a nickel. And he is a diminished, smaller guy, not diminished, but a diminutive, smaller guy if you were to try to move him to safety. So, and I like safeties. I think safety is an important position. I don't think gets enough talk and enough run with the Bears. I don't think Byard is a long-term answer. And Brisker needs to show more, frankly. But I don't see, you know, you don't have a natural safety calling out to you here. Phillips is a nickel and Hart is a press man, cover three guy that's really made to play on the outside.
So I think we can all agree that Phillips is not going to be there at this point, almost completely unlikely. So I would say let's narrow it down to two players they've met with, and I would say let's go. We're going Dylan Lobby or we're going with Cam Hart. So
let's take Lobby. He's a punt returner. He's an offensive weapon, and we don't have a ton of time. So I just think we should – guys are on board with this, let's do Lobby.
Yeah, it's better than you taking him at 74 last time.
Yeah, let's take Lobby. I like him. I like him here.
I'm good with that. Or Lob, however you say it. There goes Cam Hart right away at 127.
Mason McCormick, a guy the Bears met with at the combine, I believe.
Smith Wade.
I don't know if we have any more picks left. We might have used all ours.
We have one pick left. We picked up that additional six. We got 191.
That's right.
There goes Luke McCaffrey. A lot of people like him and think he's very underrated in this draft. And he's obviously the brother of Christian McCaffrey. So there's a lot of good family gene there. That's for sure. There goes Marshawn Lloyd.
Wow. All the way down to 163. I don't think that's going to happen.
Probably not. Because he's one of the, a lot of people consider him one of the top running backs.
Garrett Greenfield, offensive tackle from South Dakota State. I believe South Dakota State. Bears met with him. He just went off the board. He's got good traits. Strong, got a good punch. I was watching his tape today too. Elijah Jones, guy the Bears met with, just went.
Here we go.
We're up again here now at 191. Mo Kamara's there, and he's an edge rusher a lot of people like. I'm not sure if he's going to make it all the way. Yeah,
there is no way he's making it this far. No way.
Him and I watched Maris Liufau play at Notre Dame a lot. I think he's an interesting guy there.
Good, probably be a good teamer. He'd probably be a good teams guy.
It's a late round pick, 6'2", 234.
RAS score is not real great.
I mean, this is that time, you guys, but you know, I know that there was some tight end appreciation. So certainly if you want a third tight end, this would be the time to go do it.
Let's see who we got here.
I love
McCallum Castle's a guy they've met with at the combine. He's down at from 217 there. A guy went to Tennessee.
What's his probably could be a UDFA.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Those top three guys, though, are they're three guys I hold in very high regard at this, especially at this point. They all three offer a little bit of a different flavor. Barner is a Y that's a little bit undersized, but I think he has more receiving chops that than what he showed at Indiana and Michigan, respectively. Dahlin Holker, who I'm a big fan of, is that H-back kind of. Please don't mistake me as I'm calling him Ben Sinnott, but I like to always think that, you know, there's certain players at the top of the draft, call those Coca-Cola or, you know, call them the name brand. And then you have these players that are kind of discount versions, kind of like a, you know, Kirkland brand, if you will. And to me, Dahlin Holker is a Kirkland H-back, a Kirkland Ben Sinnott, if you will. And then McLaughlin's just a very interesting player. He's an older prospect, but actually outproduced what Gronkowski did at Arizona. He's a frenetic blocker, not the greatest, needs to work on his hand usage, but he's a smart player that knows how to get open and receive.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that. It looked like Barner had the best RAS score of all them. We know that the Bears love their guys with high RAS scores. So 8.7 at 6'6", 251. I mean, shit, I wouldn't mind that.
Can we go one more time really quick? All the available players. Let's see. Anybody on this list? I just don't see Kamara ending up there, although I think if he is there, that's what they would do. That guy's got a lot of upside.
Can we scroll down a little bit more and see if there's anybody else here that they've had a top 30 with?
I love Brennan Jackson, but that's you already have an end. You don't really need it.
Right. What about a free technique or another defensive tackle? Anybody here screaming out at us?
I like Logan Lee, but I think he's a later draft pick, a guy that could be UDFA. Cromera is interesting. Cremedy's okay. But, yeah, I mean, the reality is any worthwhile interior defensive lineman are well – the quality ones are well done for round six.
Right.
I like Barner here. I like the RAS score, you know, and like you were talking about, he just sounds like he'd be a good fit for the Bears. He's got good size, and they could use another tight end, I mean, especially in this offense. So why not? Is he a good blocker? Have you seen that on his tape?
Yeah, I mean, you don't play as much as he did for Michigan if you're not willing to block.
Michigan, you're right. Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair,
I like it.
To give some extra context, Colston Loveland, who's not in this class, he's going to be a first-round pick next year by all accounts, unless he dramatically falls off. He was more of their receiving. He was their star tight end. He was more of their receiving tight end. That was outside of Roman Wilson, J.J. McCarthy's favorite receiver to go to. And that the reason I bring that up and why is that important is because Barner was actually the guy that they expected to do more of the blocking, to be that secondary kind of, you know, gritty guy, pack a lunch, put your hard hat on and get to work. And so I think, to me, Barner makes a lot of sense there. And again, I think he's a better receiver than he gets credit for.
Lock it in, because I think we need another blocking tight end.
Saying he's one of the best tight end blockers in his class. So he's seen him as well. And look, I mean, I think this is a perfect fit. The guys, I mean, maybe he could come in as a sixth offensive lineman right off the bat and help block, you know. Who knows?
We need a fullback, too, because I don't think we're going to have a fullback, so you could line up in the backfield even. Let's do it. Lock it in. There's our draft.
All right, guys. Number one, we took Caleb Williams. We moved down and took Jared Verse at 15. We took guard Christian Haynes from UConn at 46. Brendan Rice, wide receiver, USC at 75. Dylan Lobby, running back from New Hampshire, who also is a punt returner at 122. He returns kicks as well. And 191, we took A.J. Barner, tight end for Michigan, who's one of the best tight end blockers in the class, according to Aldo here. So, Jordan, we really appreciate all your insight here. Yes. We don't have a ton of time left. I would ask you to stick around and kind of go over this list with us some more, but – you know, we kind of got into detail with a lot of these guys as we were talking about it. So I don't mind this. I think it would be a good draft. If the Bears walked away with this, I would be happy with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to argue. I think that really, if we're picking, we're nitpicking here, I think I'd like to see a little more defensive help, but let's also be honest here that the Bears defense is really well built out at this point. So the only real glaring need was edge, and you put, you know, one of the better ones there at 15 in that spot. And you really want to make sure that you're doing everything possible to support your young quarterback and your new OC there. And I think that by the time you talk about Coleman Shelton and, Ryan Bates, as well as Christian Haynes, you've got enough insurance there that if Tevin Jenkins goes out, if Nate Davis isn't playing well, you can, you know, one of your centers isn't performing well, if you needed to move people around, you've got a guy in Haynes that has interior versatility to where any type of permutation you needed to move around, he could find a way to fit there. And then, of course, you get your X and Brendan Rice, your blocking tight end and Barner and Lobby, who's fantastic kind of, I think it's a little played out of a comparison, but Danny Woodhead, you know, a guy that's a receiving scat back, you know, satellite option. It's not a bad draft at all.
Well, and it eliminates Velus Jones, who I cannot do another season of Velus Jones. So hopefully bringing in another wide receiver and maybe bringing in a punt returner would solve that. But, you know, guys, it's not a perfect draft. We can recognize that easily. But, you know, just depending on how the draft falls, I mean, you got to do what you got to do at some point. You know, you got to take picks and you got to draft who's available. And yeah, I agree, Jordan, we did not a whole lot of defensive help there, but you know, where are you going to find those elite defensive players are going to be at the top of the draft. And I think we did a good job of addressing that early in the draft. And then we were able to pick up some offensive pieces later. And honestly, you know, some of those guys where we got them, I think that's a good spot to take them. I know you guys, we talked about, you know, Brendan Rice at length there, but I think that's a good spot for him. I really do. And that's a good spot for a wide receiver, especially with what was left. So, I mean, and honestly, if we look at it, we really focused on every area of need that the Bears had. And it was unintentional. I don't think we intentionally did that. So I'm happy, guys. We appreciate you coming on, Jordan, I think we could, this would be something we could live with as Bears fans for sure.
Yeah. No. And to you fellas, thank you. Jeff, Tim, I really appreciate it more than, you know, it's always fun to talk chalk, talk ball. And, this was an enjoyable experience. I hope the chat felt the same. And as it says there at the bottom, please like, subscribe, share. It's always a good time. Thank you.
Yeah, like you said, we really appreciate having you on, Jordan. Like Tim said, you're not going to get every draft perfect either. So we're always going to miss some somewhere. But give us all a follow, guys. You can follow him at Jordan T. Silvera. I'm at Jaw0235. He's at TimWillis24. And at Barroom Network is who brings you the coverage here. So we appreciate you guys being on. We appreciate you, Jordan, coming on with us. You're definitely the longest person we've had on the show so far. So thanks, guys, for being on. It was a great little mock draft we did here for you. And next week is the draft, so can't wait to see what happens. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Bear down.
Peace. Bear down.